We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
To Setting the Pace, your go-to Pacers podcast with Alex Golden and Michael Facci.
Joining me today, as he does every week, is the one and only Michael J. Facci. He has a Zaire Williams tattoo on the small of his back, and he loves collecting bobbleheads of former draft bust. Facci, how you doing, brother?
Someone please call up your local tattoo removal artist, because I would have to get that removed right away. Love a good bobblehead, just I prefer they actually end up living up to their potential in the NBA. So, hey, we got a lot to unpack today, talking about Zaire Williams, someone who really left you wanting a lot more. I feel like his freshman year was a bit underwhelming, but Alex, I mean, tell me, what were your thoughts on Zaire?
Yeah, so Zaire is a guy that I thought, man, he's got a lot of intangibles. He's got a lot of really nice skills. He's a big wing. It's like, If you're thinking of the perfect wing, you kind of draw up this guy, and then you see how he goes out on the court and plays. And he did not look so good in Stanford. There was a couple of games where he really popped, but there was a lot of games where he really struggled. And so we're going to get into that today with our buddy Jared Katz, because Zaire is such an intriguing prospect. I've had a lot of Pacer fans going at me in my mentions saying, "Hey, we want to hear more about Zaire Williams." So, you know, you ask, you shall receive. We talked about him, but I don't think he's going to be the pick at 13 with the Pacers having the 13th overall pick.
No, the upside, the potential, it's there. He's got an NBA-type size body at 6'7", 6'8", with a large wingspan. But there's more to just measurements. And I think that this is a guy that might not be ready to produce for a while. And the Pacers, they're at a pretty pivotal spot where, hey – our last few first-round draft picks have not been able to produce for a while. I think it's about time we get someone who's a bit more NBA ready.
Yeah, I mean, this is a project kind of guy, and we'll find out more about why he's a project guy with our guests. So, Facci, let's step out of the way and let Jared Katz spoil Zaire Williams' draft report for us. All right, everybody, we're back for another episode of the Prospect Chronicles. And once again, we're joined this week by the one and only Jared Katz from Mavs Draft. Jared, what's going on, man?
Doing great. Thank you guys for having me. I'm excited to talk about this particular prospect.
Yeah, Facci, which prospect are we talking about today?
So right now we are talking about Zaire Williams, a five-star recruit that kind of left you wanting to know a little bit more as he enters the NBA draft. Freshman.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what we're going to do today with Jared. We're going to break down Zaire Williams' game. I've had people messaging me saying, I want to hear more about Zaire. I think he's a good fit for the Pacers at 13. And we're going to break down if that is a good decision or not based on some of the film studies that Jared has done and the scouting that Jared's done. So let's get right into it, Jared. First question, Zaire Williams, what is where do you have him at on your big board?
So I have him at 17 at the moment. I'm still kind of working through my board a little bit, but I expect him to fall somewhere between 17 and 20 at the end of the day.
All right. I mean, this is someone that right now I feel like he's got all the talent in the world, but I don't want to be negative here, but this is someone who, you know, like I mentioned before, a five-star recruit, picks Stanford, goes over there, doesn't really produce what I think what people thought. Talking about someone who shot sub 38% for the field, sub 30% from three. Is it safe to say, Jared, that he underperformed last year?
1,000%. Yeah, Zaire Williams was one of those guys coming in where, you know, I think everybody for the most part has had that the first couple tiers being, you know, Cade, Suggs, Mobley, Green, Kuminga. And then there's kind of a, you know, a big blob of who's next. And for a while, Zaire Williams was in that conversation. That's the kind of talent he had coming out of high school. Those were, I think, the expectations that people had, especially really interesting going to Stanford. You really don't see a lot of one and done guys, especially of that caliber of recruit, go to Stanford. And so you kind of expected him to be the guy. And, you know, unfortunately, the numbers didn't really back that up. He dealt with some injuries this year. I think he had something personal going on that caused him to miss a few games as well. But even from the get-go, he just didn't really look healthy.
Well, and I have to ask this because Pacer fans here, I think this is why. I haven't really talked to anybody personally, but I think the reason a lot of Pacer fans are excited about Zaire is because he kind of has some of the same build of Paul George when he entered into the NBA draft about 11 years ago in 2010. And I mean, I can kind of see that. Maybe it's an unknown, a guy that, you know, struggled, but still there's some upside there. Do you think that that's kind of where you would project him at right now, as a guy that's a little bit under the radar?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I've seen Paul George as a comparison for Zaire a couple of times. I think you need to be really careful when you're talking about, you know, all NBA talent like that. Right. But as far as frame and straight ability and play style, I think there are some similarities there. And like you said, that could be a reason that a lot of Pacers fans are excited for Williams.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about a guy who's 6'7", 6'8". He's got about a 6'10 wingspan. I think that he is good on the defensive side of things. But, you know, I saw the Paul George name floated around there. I saw Rudy Gay, and I feel like that's more of a maybe like a body type. But this is someone that when I was looking into the comparison, Paul George's stats definitely seem far superior in his 2 years at Fresno State. I know it was against lesser competition, but you know, Zaire feels that he has all the tools to be successful at the next level, but would it be wrong to say this might be one of the guys that could benefit most if he had returned to college for another year?
Yeah, I think so. It would have given him an opportunity to really be healthy. And being in the Pac-12, you really didn't have a chance to prepare with COVID this year. And I think that really holds a guy like Zaire Williams back. And you know, he's just raw. He's raw all around, but he oozes talent. And I'm sure we'll talk about this a couple of times today. Is, you know, at what point do you say I'm willing to risk the investment because of the talent, knowing that he's not NBA ready, and I'm probably not going to get meaningful contributions out of him, maybe until year three.
Yeah, and I think it's hard for me to sit here and say, as a guy that covers this Pacers team, thinking they would go out and get someone like that. But at the same time, I mean, if that's a three-year window, they have a lot of contracts coming off the books in 2 years. So it could make sense for him to make that jump in year three once you get the guys like LeVert Brogdon off the roster. Edmund Sumner, I believe, is in that same boat as far as when his contract expires too. So there's a lot of intrigue there. And I think the biggest thing for me is getting guys playing time in Indiana. Their developmental team has not done a very good job of developing young players. It's really just been whenever they've been super talented, they've thrust them into the starting lineup. But other than that, they don't get a lot of minutes in the rotation. So that's intriguing that you say that. But I'm just looking here at some of these cons that people have put out here on social media and Twitter and the internet. And a lot of it talks about just how he can play very wild and he's not real crisp with his game. Can we talk about how he is just maybe not under control the way you'd want him to be if you're looking at a prospect?
Yeah, so I think it starts with the ball handling. It's improved, but it's still not where you want it to be. He's still kind of loose with the handle. When he gets going downhill, he gets tunnel vision, and it's very much, you know, get out of the way or get run over. But if you get run over by a guy who's 180 pounds, like, it doesn't hurt that much. And then you get an offensive foul, you're going the other way. He's made some kind of careless decisions with the ball. But I think a lot of that has to do with reps. You know, he's a guy who ended up losing his starting job at Stanford, only played 20 games. So, you know, this is a guy who needs reps. And you talked about, you know, Indiana's development or maybe lack thereof of players like that. To me, Zaire Williams is just a guy who needs to get in the game. He needs to make mistakes and learn to correct them. And I think he got better as the year went on, and being taken out of the starting lineup, I think, kind of made him refocus a little bit. He looked a little sharper later in the season, in my opinion, from the games that I watched. It's a very fair criticism, and I think a large reason why he's not NBA ready at this point.
Yeah, you talked about some of the mistakes that he's made. I mean, this is someone who averaged just a hair under 3 turnovers per game. You know, I don't know. It's going to be hard to be able to get those reps and be able to play through your mistakes when, you know, it seems that you might not be ready for the next level. But can we talk about something that maybe that he does do very well at this moment?
Yeah, so I think from day one, you're going to get a pretty solid defender, high energy defender. He's got good length, 6'10", 6'11", wingspan, good lateral mobility. He does need to put on weight, and I think that will help with, you know, playing defense against maybe some small ball fours. I think right now he's probably better suited to guard threes, maybe down guarding twos as well. But I think there is upside for him to be a 2-4 defender. So I think that's something he does really well right now. I also, this is going to be kind of a weird thing, but I like how confident he is when he shoots. Yes, he's a little crazy. He's a little wild, and the numbers weren't really there. But if you don't lose confidence, that's, you know, that's so much of basketball, especially as a shooter, is, you know, when I put the ball up, do I expect it to go in? And I think he's a much better shooter than his numbers indicate. I think part of it was, again, not being fully healthy, not really having the off season to get to the point where you would need to be, you know, as far as readiness for the season. But the way he shot the ball in high school, the way it looks coming out of his hands, I think he's going to be able to shoot at a pretty reasonable level.
So this is a question that I really haven't asked on any of our other Prospect Chronicle episodes, and I don't know why I didn't, but how much of an impact do you think the COVID-19 pandemic played a factor into his collegiate season here with Stanford?
It's a really good question, and I think it's massive in this particular case. I think you could say that about any team, but especially the Pac-12 teams, the teams that are in California. You know, they had much heavier restrictions than other schools. I mean, you know, their football season didn't even start until, you know, everyone else was halfway through. And I know it's a different sport, but same idea. You don't get to go in the gym. You don't get to go into the weight room. And the weight room thing was big for him. He really has to add strength. And I think, you know, we were talking about things he does well, things he doesn't. I think another area that he needs to improve tremendously is his finishing. I think he's a guy who's used to just being able to go up and over people at the high school level. And now that he has to kind of absorb contact, his body's not ready for that yet. I think he'll get there. But again, I think that's an area that COVID contributed to some of his struggles.
Yeah, just about every account that you'll read will highlight his defensive abilities, which we touched on. But someone that I was really much lower on in the draft 2 years ago was Matisse Thybulle, and he was a senior. Now, Zaire, he's a freshman coming out, but I love Thybulle's defensive capabilities. I think that he's absolutely, you know, shown that he can contribute on the defensive side of things. If Zaire is not able to get his offensive game up to par, do you think at worst he could be potentially a higher ceiling, you know, Matisse Thybulle?
Ooh. I don't think he's that good defensively. I think he's good. I don't think he's a stopper like Thybulle can be.
Yeah.
But the offensive game is much more fluid.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, but that kind of role, I could kind of see it. Yeah.
Yeah. At worst case scenario, if the offensive side never really comes and he's able to hone in on defensive side, I still feel like Thybulle, someone who's impacting the game without much offense at all. If Zaire can at least hone in on improving his defensive side of things much better, I think that he'll be able to carve out a role. So that's essentially what I was getting at.
Yeah, and there's definitely a role there. The other thing I think Zaire Williams does that people don't talk enough about is his ability as a passer. Stanford runs a whole lot of backdoor cut, backdoor screen action. And so some of it you could say, oh, well, it's, you know, it's designed to be there, but you still need to see it. There's a whole lot of stuff going on the weak side of the floor, and he's able to see the cutter and a lot of times fit the ball into really tight windows. He has really good ball placement on his passes. And I highlight that because even if you're going to be primarily a defensive player, you don't want to be a ball stopper. And I don't think he will be. So even if he's not making shots, I think there are other ways that he'll be able to contribute on the floor offensively. I almost wouldn't mind seeing him, you know, once he adds a little bit of weight, if he plays a little small ball four, to be the roll man and just kind of short roll and distribute from the high post. You know, I think that's something that NBA teams could utilize in his game as well, you know, later down the line.
Okay, so I want to ask this two-part question because I think it'll really help just kind of break it down easier for fans if they're fans of Zaire Williams or if they have some concerns about him. But give me two things positively, two of his strengths that you think will keep him in the league for a long time, and then give me two of your biggest, you know, weaknesses or two of the things that worry you the most that could potentially make him a bust prospect.
Sure. So I'm not going – I think one of the obvious answer, and it's kind of a cop-out answer as far as his strengths, would be the upside. Well, that's kind of a lame answer. It doesn't really tell you anything. So I'll say two things that he'd do well and that I kind of project him to do well moving forward. Again, we talked about the defense. I do think he'll be a plus defensive player, make strong rotations. He tags the roller. High energy player, not afraid to get in the face of the offensive player, really active hands. So I think, you know, at minimum, you're getting a high level defensive player. Again, maybe not, you know, an all defense caliber player, but somebody that you're going to say, okay, you know, go guard the best or second best player on the floor. And you feel reasonably good about it. excuse me. I would say on the offensive side, I do think the shooting will get there eventually. And there's projection there. But again, the way he shot it before, the confidence in which he shoots the ball, you don't have that kind of confidence if you're not a good shooter, unless you're, you know, like, I don't know, Rondo in the playoffs or something. But I think those two things, I think are going to keep him in the league. And especially if he develops that catch and shoot 3-point shot, he's an easy, you know, 3-and-D, you know, kind of player. You're just going to see it in a couple of years. Two things that I think are going to be problems is the decision-making. I talked about the passing, and he is a good passer, and it's not necessarily the passing that's a problem. It's some of the, shot selection. It's the, you know, maybe the decision to try to force the issue and dribble the ball where he doesn't need to be dribbling. And I would say his finishing. If he's not able to finish at a reasonable level, then you can really run him off the three-point line, and you're not too concerned about him attacking the closeout and getting to the rim. You should feel, you know, as his opponent, you should feel reasonably comfortable that you're going to be able to give him a hard time if you can challenge him at the rim.
If you're a team, you know, are you drafting him with expectations to say, you know, I know you mentioned it could be a while till he contributes. Is your expectations, hey, let's put him in the G League and let's get his confidence up? Or is this, hey, let's put him on the bench and let's, you know, give it about a year or so and see if he can maybe crack the rotation in that first year? Or should expectations off the bat be, hey, G League, get the confidence up, get consistency?
Yeah, that's a really good question and a really tough answer. I think at the end of the day, he needs reps. So if you're, you know, let's say you're a team drafting in the 20s and you're a playoff team and you're just drafting him to kind of add to the stable for, you know, later down the line. I mean, we've seen some teams draft guys with super high ceilings in the hopes that you're just, you know, adding to that cupboard of talent. So if you're one of those teams, I do think it's a, let's get this guy to the G League. Let's make him the focus of that G League team, develop the skills that we want to develop, and maybe bring him up later down the line, depending on how he's doing. I think if you're a team who is in a rebuilding stage, you know it's going to be a multi-year process of probably being in the lottery several years in a row, then I don't think there's too much harm in letting him try to figure it out at the NBA level. And if he can't, you can always send him down and go from there, you know, just kind of make sure he understands, like, this isn't a, you know, performance issue, or, you know, we're not upset with you. This is, we think this is best for your development. And, you know, hopefully he understands that. But I think it comes down to the team that drafts him and understanding that the only way he's going to get better is by playing. That's how you start to tighten up those mistakes. So not the best answer, but that's probably what I would say.
So I know I mentioned Paul George as a name that I've seen thrown out there, and I know that player comps, like you said earlier and last week, can be really hard to put out there for prospects. And I know not everybody loves it, but is there somebody that you would maybe look at? I mean, maybe if the ceiling is Paul George, what's the floor in terms of player comparison? I've seen some names, and I don't want to give it away, but I'll maybe jump in if I think we're on the same page here with who you give me for your player comp.
So I'll be totally honest. If I don't see it, like, I'm not going to look for it. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So can I see a world where he's in the Paul George, Rudy Gay mold? That, you know, those are two names that you guys have brought up. I can absolutely see it. I mean, what's the floor for a guy that's this raw? I don't know if I can give you a specific name, but you know, you're looking at a guy that's probably never more than you know, a second unit energy kind of guy. I'm trying to think on the fly here because I did try to think of one coming in mm-hmm. to the podcast. And nothing really came to me. So I want to hear some of your names and see if that kind of sparks something.
Well, one name for me that I think makes a ton of sense is Cam Reddish.
Okay, like, yeah, I like
a guy that. In Atlanta, you know, and there's a lot of people that still like Cam Reddish that would trade for him and would hope that he would turn into something. I know that we have Pacer fans that would like Cam Reddish on this roster. So that, to me, is someone I think makes sense because there's a lot of intangibles there. Cam obviously went top 10, so I think there's maybe less expectations with Zaire if he's drafted in, you know, the teens area. But I do think that might be a decent comparison, Cam Reddish.
One thing that I saw, one name that, you know, went pretty high, I think it was the fourth overall pick, was DeAndre Hunter. DeAndre Hunter is someone who is known for, you know, being a good defender, but I think that Hunter's game was more polished At that point, I think, you know, you're obviously coming off of, you know, winning a championship at Virginia, being a top five pick. Zaire, I felt like, just didn't have the year that people hoped for. And for that, it kind of felt like he had his mind made from the start. It was 1 year going pro. So I'm a little bit less sold on him, but the Hunter, hey, if he could end up being a DeAndre Hunter type, I think that would be a pretty good role in the NBA.
Yeah, I'd seen that name too, and kind of got me thinking a little bit. Like you said, I think Hunter was more polished. I think he was a little bigger too, a little bulkier. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, I think the difference is, while I still think Zaire can shoot it well, Hunter did shoot it well. And, you know, that I think if Zaire shot the ball like that, we'd be talking about him as a no doubt top 10 pick.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So, like I said, I'm still trying to figure out where exactly I think he falls, but I do think that there is potential there for a team that maybe has multiple picks in the first round. A team like New York, they've got, I believe, the Mavericks pick.
Yep,
this season.
They do.
So,
and Houston Rockets, I think, would
for
be
for Tim Hardaway Jr.
Hey, I think it's worth it at this point.
Yeah, Tim Hardaway. Yep.
Not for Porzingis, but anyway, we can keep all that Porzingis out of Indiana talk out of my mentions. I did see
you guys talked about him on an earlier episode. I didn't get a chance to listen to it yet, but I want to tune into that to get your guys' thoughts on that.
Oh, for sure.
Well, spoiler alert, we're not fans, but
no, we're not. No,
nobody
we're not.
Is at this point.
No, there really isn't any takers for Porzingis at this point. I mean, the contract alone is terrifying. The injury history is very alarming. And I just think that he's just a player that just does not fit on a lot of teams right now. If he wants to view himself as a number one option, it's slim picking.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree.
We're getting off topic here. We're supposed to be talking about our prospect chronicles. So my last question on Zaire Williams, like I did last week, give me your best persuasive speech on Zaire Williams and why you think he would make sense for an NBA team.
So with Zaire Williams, I genuinely believe this is a guy who is one of the 10 most talented players in the draft, maybe top five. At least borderline, and I think there's an argument to be made there. If you're willing to be patient with him and you're willing to develop him, the rewards are a potential all-NBA caliber player. Now, being realistic, the floor is low, but if you're going to take a swing on a guy in the middle of the first round and you say, we have the role players, we need to try and find a star, that's the kind of home run swing you take. That's the kind of talent you bet on, and you just hope you can chalk up a lot of the struggles to injury, to COVID, to whatever personal issues he was dealing with, allegedly. And if you develop him, you're getting, you know, possibly one of the 25 best players in the NBA. And if you can get that in the middle of the first round, you have the role players, you know, that's not something you're looking to upgrade. Zaire Williams is the guy that I'm taking a swing on in the middle of the first.
Okay. I respect it very much. And as we wrap up over here, Jared, tell everyone where they can find you on social media and what you guys have going on.
I'm on Twitter at Jared_Katz30, KATZ. Richard and I are still trying to pump out some more content over at Mavs Draft as well. It's about all I got going on. Just keep grinding and looking forward to seeing how this draft shakes out.
All right. Well, this is going to wrap up episode 5 of the Prospect Chronicles. As we close out the month of June, it's exciting to know that we've made it this far. And I think the month of July, we're going to get a little bit more of a pulse on what's going on around the league and, you know, what kind of guys the Pacers bring in for some workouts and what they see from the combine. I think we're going to get a better pulse on what the Pacers could do. And, you know, maybe at that point, we'll have Jared back on to break down another prospect. But we will be back next week to hit on another prospect. We haven't picked one out yet, so no spoilers. But we will be back next week to talk about that.